crosses to bear. Lou. I woke to voices arguing. Though the pain in my back had miraculously vanished, my chest still felt tight, heavy. Honey coated my tongue, so I almost missed the sharper, coppery taste hiding amidst its sweetness. I should have been apologetic, but exhaustion made it difficult to muster anything but apathy. As such, I didn't open my eyes right away, content to feign sleep and cherish the breath in my lungs. They laid me on my stomach, and night air caressed the skin of my back. The bare skin of my back. I almost laughed and gave myself away. The deviants had cut open my shirt.
"Why isn't it working?" Reed snapped.
A hot presence beside me, he clenched my hand in his own.
"Shouldn't she have woken up by now?"
"Use your eyes, Diggory."
Coco's voice cut equally sharp. "Her burns have obviously healed. Give her internal injuries time to do the same."
"Internal injuries?"
I imagined his face turning puce. Coco sighed impatiently.
"It isn't humanly possible to move a knife, let alone throw one, with only the air in our lungs. She compensated by using the air from her blood, her tissues."
"She did what?"
His voice was dangerously soft now, deceptively soft. It did little to hide his ire, however, as his grip nearly broke my fingers.
"That could have killed her."
"There's always a cost."
Reed scoffed. It was an ugly, unfamiliar sound.
"Except for you, it seems."
"Excuse me?"
I fought a groan, resisting the urge to insert myself between them. Reed was an idiot, but today he would learn.
"You heard me,"
he said, undeterred by Coco's proximity to his arteries.
"Lou is different when she uses magic. Her emotions, her judgment. She's been erratic since the pool yesterday. Tonight was worse. Yet you use magic without consequence."
All desire to shield him from Coco disappeared.
"Erratic?"
It took a great deal of effort to keep my breathing slow and steady. Indignation seared away the last of my fatigue, and my heart pounded at the small betrayal. Here I was, lying injured beside him, and he had the gall to insult me? All I'd done at the pool and pub was keep his ungrateful ass alive. Eviscerate him, Coco.
"Give me specific examples."
I frowned into my bedroll. That wasn't quite the response I'd expected. And was that concern I detected? Surely Coco didn't agree with this nonsense.
"She dyed her hair with little to no forethought. She tried to strangle Beau when it went wrong."
Reed sounded as if he were ticking items from a carefully constructed list.
"She wept afterward, genuinely wept."
"She dyed her hair like that for you."
Coco's voice dripped with disdain and dislike, and I peeked an eye open, slightly mollified. She glared at him.
"And she's allowed to cry. We don't all suffer from your emotional constipation."
He waved a curt hand.
"It's more than that. At the pub, she snapped on Claude Devereaux. She laughed when she hurt the bounty hunter, even though she hurt herself in the process. You saw the bruise on her ribs. She was coughing up blood."
He raked a hand through his hair in agitation, shaking his head.
"And that was before she killed his friend and nearly herself in the process. I'm worried about her. After she killed him, there was a moment when she looked almost exactly like—"
"Don't you dare finish that sentence."
"I didn't mean—" "Stop!"
Blood still beaded Coco's hand, which clutched an empty vial of honey. Her fingers shook.
"I don't have any comforting words for you. There is nothing comfortable about our situation. This sort of magic, the sort that balances life and death on a knife point, requires sacrifice. Nature demands balance."
"There's nothing natural about it."
Reed's cheeks flushed as he spoke, and his voice grew harder and harder with each word.
"It's aberrant. It's like a sickness, a poison."
"It's our cross to bear. I would tell you there's more to magic than death, but you wouldn't hear it. You have your own poison running through your blood, which, incidentally, I'll boil if you ever speak like this in front of Lou. She has enough steaming shit to sort through without adding yours to the pile."
Exhaling deeply, Coco's shoulders slumped.
"But you're right. There's nothing natural about a mother killing her child. Lou is going to get worse before she gets better. Much, much worse."
Reed's fingers tightened around mine, and they both peered down at me. I slammed my eyes shut.
"I know," he said.
I took a deep breath to collect myself, then another. But I couldn't ignore the sharp burst of anger their words had evoked, nor the hurt underlying it. This was not a flattering conversation. These were not the words one hoped to overhear from loved ones. She's going to get worse before she gets better. Much, much worse. My mother's face tugged at my memory. When I was 14, she'd procured a consort for me, insistent that I live a full life in only a handful of years. His name had been Alec, and his face had been so beautiful I'd wanted to weep. When I'd suspected Alec had favored another witch, I'd followed him to the banks of L'Eau Melancolique one night and watched as he'd laid with his lover. Afterward, my mother had cradled me to sleep, murmuring, "If you are unafraid to look, darling, you are unafraid to find." Perhaps I wasn't as unafraid as I thought. But they were wrong. I felt fine. My emotions weren't erratic. To prove it, I cleared my throat, opened my eyes, and stared straight into the face of a cat. "Absalon!" I lurched backward, startled and coughing anew at the sudden movement. My shirt, cut from my back in ribbons, fluttered at my sides.
"You're awake."
Relief lit Reed's face as he sat forward, tentatively touching my face, sweeping a thumb across my cheek.
"How do you feel?"
"Like garbage." Coco knelt next to me as well. "I hope you nicked more clothing from that peddler. Your others quite literally melted into your back tonight. They were fun to remove."
"If by fun you mean grotesque," Beau said, sidling up beside us. "I wouldn't look over there."
He waved a hand over his shoulder.
"Unless you'd like to see your love child of flesh and fabric, and Ansel's dinner. He parted with it shortly after seeing your injuries."
I glanced across the hollow to where Ansel sat, looking miserable, while Madame Lebel fussed over him. "You should change," Coco said. "It's near midnight. My aunt will be here soon." Reed glared at her, shifting to block me from view.
"I told you, Lou comes with me."
Coco fired up at once. "And I told you, shut up, both of you." The words leapt from me before I could stop them, and I cringed at their shocked expressions. They shared a quick glance, communicating without a word, but I still heard it. Erratic. I forced a smile and stepped around Reed. "Sorry, I shouldn't have said that."
"Yes, you should have."
Beau arched a brow, studying the three of us with unabashed interest. When he tilted his head, frowning as if he could see the tension in the air, I scowled. Maybe Reed had been right. Maybe I wasn't myself. Never before had I felt the need to apologize for telling him to shut the hell up.
"They're incredibly annoying."
"Pot, meat, kettle," Coco snapped. "For the last time, I go wherever I want," I said. "Tonight was a disaster, but at least now we know the Archbishop's funeral is in a fortnight. It takes 10 days of hard travel to reach Caesarine. That gives us only a couple of days with the Blood Witches and werewolves." I skewered Reed with a glare when he tried to interrupt. "We have to proceed with the plan as discussed. We go to the blood camp, you go to Le Ventre. We'll meet back in Caesarine on the eve of the funeral. You'll send Absalon along with the time and place."
"I don't trust the Madagot," Reed said darkly.
Absalon flicked his tail at him in response. "He certainly likes you." I bent down to scratch his ears. "And he saved us on Modranit by delivering Madame Lebel's message to the chasseurs. If I remember correctly, you didn't like that plan either." Reed said nothing, jaw clenched.
"Le Ventre?" Beau asked, puzzled.
"It's Packland," I said shortly. Of course, he'd never journeyed into that murky corner of his kingdom. Most avoided it, if possible, including me. "La Rivière des Dons empties into a cold water swamp in the southernmost part of Belterra. The loups-garous have claimed it as their territory."
"And why is it called the stomach?"
"The teeth lead to the stomach. Plus, the loups-garous eat anyone who trespasses."
"Not everyone," Reed muttered.
"This is a shit plan," Beau said. "We'll hardly reach Caesarine in time for the funeral, yet we're also expected to journey to Le Ventre. Not to mention the insanity that is approaching my father about an alliance. You were in the pub, weren't you? You saw the wanted posters? Those men were going to cut off your head, my head. Not Reed's.
For whatever reason, your father doesn't want him dead." Maybe he already knows about their connection, but if he doesn't, he'll soon find out. You're going to introduce them. I slipped back behind Reed to change into my new clothing. He was wide enough to block three of me from view. Just so you know, I added to him, the only reason I'm allowing this brute show of possessiveness is because your brother hasn't seen my tits yet, and I'm going to keep it that way.
You break my heart, sister mine, Beau said. Shut up.
Blood crept up Reed's neck.
Not another word.
Interesting. He didn't feel the need to apologize. A peculiar bitterness settled on my tongue, and I didn't particularly enjoy the taste, like regret and uncertainty and something else. I couldn't name it. You should think about leaving soon, I told them. After our rather spectacular excursion in Saint-Loire, the road will be crawling with bounty hunters. The chasseurs might have turned around too. I know you're still uncomfortable with magic, Reed, but Madame Lebel will have to disguise you again. We can also ask to— I stopped short at Coco's laughter. She looked expectantly at Reed. I can't wait to hear this. Peeking at her from beneath Reed's arm, I asked,
Can't wait to hear what?
She nodded to Reed. Go on. Tell her. He craned his neck to look down his shoulder at me as I slipped the scarlet shirt over my head and leather tights up my legs. I bent to lace my boots. Finally, he muttered,
I can't do it, Lou.
Frowning up at him, I straightened.
Can't do what?
He shook his head slowly, the flush in his throat creeping up his cheeks. He clenched his jaw and lifted his chin.
I can't be around it. Magic. I won't.
I stared at him, and between one breath and another, the pieces clicked into place. His standoffishness, his disloyalty, his concern. It all made sense now.
Lou is different when she uses magic. Her emotions, her judgment, she's been erratic. I'm worried about her. There was a moment when she looked almost exactly like her mother.
He hadn't needed to finish the sentence. It's aberrant, he'd said.
Aberrant.
The bitterness coated my throat now, threatening to choke me, and I finally recognized it for what it was. Shame.
Well, isn't that convenient?
From beneath Reed's arm, I caught a glimpse of Coco hooking Beau's elbow and dragging him away. He didn't protest. When they disappeared from my view, Reed turned to face me, bending low to meet my eyes directly.
I know what you're thinking. It's not that.
People don't really change, do they?
Lou,
are you going to start calling me it? I wouldn't blame you. I bared my teeth at him, leaning close enough to bite. Never once in my 18 years had I allowed anyone to make me feel the way I felt now. I resented the tears pooling in my eyes, the nausea rolling in my belly.
I'm aberrant, after all. Erratic.
He cursed softly, his eyes fluttering closed.
You were listening.
Of course I was listening. How dare you insult me to justify your own twisted narrative?
Stop, stop.
His eyes snapped open as he reached for me, gripping my arms, but his hands were gentle.
I told you it doesn't matter that you're a witch. I meant it. Bullshit.
I jerked away from him, watching in acute misery as his hands fell. The next second, I tackled him around the waist, burying my face in his chest. My voice was muffled, broken as I squeezed him tight.
You didn't even give me a chance.
He held me tighter still, wrapping his body around mine like he could shield me from the world.
This is about magic, not you.
Magic is me, and it's you too.
No, it isn't. All those pieces you're giving up, I want them. I want you, whole and unharmed.
He pulled away to look at me, those blue eyes blazing with intensity.
I know I can't ask you to stop using magic, so I won't. But I can ask it of my mother, I can ask it of myself, and I can—
He brushed a strand of hair from my cheek.
I can ask you to be careful.
You can't be serious. Finally, I recoiled from his touch, my heart catching up with my head. You're acting like I'm suddenly damaged goods or a piece of glass about to shatter. Newsflash, I've practiced magic all my life. I know what I'm doing.
Lou.
He reached for me again, but I swatted his hand away. Those eyes burned brighter, hotter.
You haven't been yourself. You see what you want to see. Do you think I want to see you as what? As evil?
He gripped my shoulders hard.
You are not evil. Of course I'm not.
I wiped a tear from my eye before it could fall, before he could see. Never before had I allowed myself to feel small, to feel ashamed, and I refuse to start now.
You would willingly endanger your life, your mother's life, your brother's life, by refusing to use magic on the road?
I'm damned either way.
I stared at him for a long moment. The conviction in his eyes shone brutally clear, and it cut deeper than I'd anticipated. That wounded part of me wanted him to suffer for his foolishness. As they were, they'd all die on the road without magic, and if they didn't, they certainly wouldn't live entre. He was crippling them with prejudice, weakening them with fear. The weak didn't survive war. Reed had to survive.
No, you aren't.
I stepped away from him, resigned, and squared my shoulders. His life was worth more than my wounded pride. Later, when all of this was over, I'd show him how wrong he was about magic, about me. Before the pub exploded, Claude Devereaux offered help if I should ever need it. His traveling troupe leaves for Caesarine tonight. You'll join him.